Praise the Lord. Excellent. Thank you, Stacy. And in your Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 5. It's an awesome passage of scripture. It came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. The Levites, which were singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard again in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. The glory of the Lord filled the house of God. And what a great passage of scripture. We have a theme of for such a time as this for 2013. The month of November, we have had the theme, A Time for Thanksgiving. And I have one more Thanksgiving message. And but the theme for December is A Time for Giving. And so I guess we can tie it together because we're giving thanks. And it is a time for giving. And Christmas is all about giving. And please don't be mistaken. It is all about God giving the greatest gift in all the world, His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross to pay for our sins, as Stacy just sang about. What a beautiful song. And if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, boy, you need to get to know Him. You need to realize that you're a sinner, and your sin has a price on it that is a place called hell, but Jesus Christ paid that price. And He made a way so you could be saved. And the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And there would be nothing better than for you to come to Christ today and be saved when we give the invitation at the end of the service. As you can tell, we are having the Lord's Supper in just a few minutes. A couple times a year, we try to do that on a Sunday morning. Usually we do it on Sunday night. But the message, therefore, will be a little bit shorter. So don't worry, okay? I am aware of the time. And, you know, people always, I got something cooking, you know, I don't want it to burn. But the key thing and the reason I like to have the Lord's Supper after the service and after the invitation is the Bible says we are to examine ourselves. And we need to be, number one, we need to be saved. Number two, we need to be baptized. We should have followed the Lord in obedience and been baptized, identified with Jesus, His death, burial, and resurrection. And then we should be right with the Lord as best we can. We should examine ourselves to make sure, hey, our walk is right with the Lord. And then we observe the Lord's Supper together. So I would encourage you to let God speak to your heart. And as I pray here in a minute, just ask the Lord to speak to your heart and challenge you from the Word of God today. Father, thank you again for this time. Please, Father, as we continue to give you thanks, I pray that you will meet with us. And we'd love to have a meeting like the meeting here in this passage of Scripture where your presence fills the place. And we beg for that. We pray for that. We pray for it not only in our church, but in our lives, in our homes, where we work. We need you so desperately. We need you and pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So my last message, I am Wednesday night going to go through some scripture of testimonies one more time. But my last message, the triumph of Thanksgiving, the triumph of Thanksgiving. Again, we've been talking about Thanksgiving and the first giving, really, I guess, as I think about it, the first giving we can do is we can all give God thanks for what He's done. And we should have that heart of gratitude. And we've talked about it all month long. And, the Bible says, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We kid around, Brother Tim loves any kind of a giver. It doesn't matter if you can be grouchy as ever. He doesn't care. But God loveth a cheerful giver. The Bible says that we're to give not grudgingly of necessity, but a cheerful one. And to me, a cheerful giver is one who is thankful for what God has done for them. Honestly, when I first started tithing, which is giving 10% of our income, I did that right after I got saved, and many of you do the same thing because that's what God tells us to do. But it was a scary thing. But when you recognize what He did for you, when you realize what He did for you, you know that 10% seems paltry compared to Him hanging on a cross to pay for our sins. And so I think about that. And so I think, you know, thanking God comes into every aspect of our lives. And there's a triumph of thanksgiving. And this passage is the triumph. In verse 14, it says, "The glory of the Lord had filled the house of God." Referred to in verse 13 as a cloud. And I immediately think of the cloud that went before the children of Israel as they're leaving Egypt and they're fleeing the Egyptians. And I think of that pillar of a cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And that was the presence of the Lord. And here in the house, this is right after the temple has been built. And they're taking the Ark of the Covenant, which is representative of God's place and God in His place. And they're taking that and they're setting it into the holiest place. And the presence of God filled the place. And that's what we should want for our lives, for our homes, for our church. We should want that for everywhere we go. We should want the glory of God to fill every area of our lives. Now, how does it happen? Number one, the requirement for their praise. The requirement for their praise. And this is a very simple message. Verse 11, it says, "When the priests were come out of the holy place." Now, in order to come out of the holy place, they had to go into the holy place. Amen? See how simple that is? They came out of the holy place. And in that holy place is a representation of a walk with God. A walk with God. A prayer life with God. A time where we read the Word of God. A time where we testify of the things of God. And without getting into all of the holy place and all of that, it is a walk with God. And the best kind of praise is praise that is a result of someone walking with God. You know, that offertory was such a blessing to me. I love that offer. I love the music today. It's just been beautiful. But I was thinking about that offertory, and I think about a couple of ladies and that they walk with God. And it's a result. You can praise the Lord. Anybody can praise the Lord. You understand, before Jesus was crucified, the week before, the people are all shouting, "Hosanna, glory to God." And then just a few days later, they're shouting, "Crucify Him." But oh, when you walk with God, it's a different kind of praise. When you walk with God, it's a different kind of singing. When you walk with God, it's a different kind of playing. When you walk with God, it is a whole. It's not a performance. It's not a, "Hey, look at me." It's, "Hey, look at Him, and look what He's done, and He's our God." And this walk with God, they had to go in order to come out of. And before they went into the holy place, they were faced with a laver, a bowl, if you will, of water, and they had to clean up. They had to wash their hands. They had to wash their feet. They had to be clean. Again, what a beautiful picture of our walk with God. We need to understand that, like I said, anybody can just praise God. In fact, the Bible says if the people didn't praise Him, that the rocks would have cried out. And they should cry out. He's deserving of all praise. But I'm just saying the best kind of praise is when we go into that holy place clean before our God. Again, none of us are perfect, but when we go to God, my Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we're not going to fool God. We can fool everybody around us. And I often think of that group that was shouting Hosanna, the different things that really were going on in their hearts, because just a few days later they said, "Crucify Him." I often think, boy, you know, hey, they probably think we look pretty good. But the truth of the matter, He knows. And when you're going to walk with God, He already knows. Be honest with Him. You know, in a few minutes we'll have an invitation. Just be honest with Him. "God, I've got some things in my life that aren't right with You." And you know what He says? He says, "Confess those sins." and he's faithful and just to forgive us. By the way, that's only possible because he shed his blood on a cross. And so they need to be clean. We must be clean to walk with God. And there's a lot of praise events that go on all over the world. But the key thing is to come to God with a clean heart. God, I failed you. God, I did this and I shouldn't have done this. Or God, I didn't do this and I was supposed to do this. And God, I've got to get it right with you. By the way, that's why we need to have preaching against sin and to be reminded over and over, and why we ought to read our Bibles daily, and why we ought to come to God in prayer so that we can be reminded, oh God, I am an unclean vessel, but I want to be clean. And I want to come to you clean so man can walk with God. And again, it's so important that we come with our Bible and our prayer time and our testimony time, and then boldly express our thanks and our praise with a heart of gratitude. Again, the requirement, this walk with God, this clean walk with God, not perfect because nobody is, but right with him, and then thanking him and praising him. It is absolutely crucial in the house being filled with the glory of the Lord. And my friend, the glory of the Lord could change your whole life if you're not saved. The glory of the Lord can turn everything around as it did with me. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And if you're not saved today, you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, understand that the glory of God can change your whole life. We have folks all over this room, came out of alcohol, came out of drugs, came out of every kind of thing imaginable, and God changed their world, their life. And his presence can fill your life. But you got to come to him. You got to come to him, and you got to say, I've sinned against you. And get it settled today. The requirement for their praise. Number two is the reason for their praise. And this is so important. Again, you don't have to just work it up. Honestly, if you're reading your Bible, if you're praying, if you're testifying to the Lord, you don't have to work it up. You don't have to, well, I got to think of something to praise God for. Because if you're walking with God and you have a relationship with him, as these obviously did, it was the reason for their praise was very, very obvious. Understand this. The context here, the temple is finished. And what a blessing that is. It's move-in day, and it's time for the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God, to be moved from Mount Zion and set down in the Holy of Holies under the wings of the cherubim. And the staves have been removed because there's no more need to move it again. It's now in its place there in that temple. And verse 6, look back at verse 6. The Bible talks about the sacrifices being made. Also, King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. In my mind, they couldn't even count all of the sheep and oxen that were being sacrificed. And all of this is going on in praise to God. And yet, when the sheep and the oxen are sacrificed, there's still no answer from heaven. There's still no answer. It doesn't mean God isn't looking on. It doesn't mean that God isn't paying attention. He's the one that told them to make the sacrifices. But there's still no answer from heaven. No, see the reason for their praise is it's the answer from heaven is going to come. But let's see why they praised the Lord. It says, first of all, in verse 13, he is good. He is good. We've talked about it over and over this month as we talk about Thanksgiving. And it's not something any Christian should ever have to work up. We had our young people at the school write down praises and thanks, and they kept a journal of that. And the whole idea was to find the spontaneity of every day or different, you know, having to put this down. And the idea that, the more I think about it, the more obvious it is that we could do this all the time. The more I think about it, the more obvious it is. I've got things that I'm thinking about now more and more and more because he is good. God is good. And the truth is, you could never say enough about the goodness of God. Amen. There's not one of us could ever say enough about how good He is. Brother Steve requested on Wednesday night the song, The Love of God. And again, to try to describe it, well, if you could write it down in the song, if you could write it down, there all the ink, if there were enough ink to be as much ink as the ocean full of ink, you still couldn't write the love of God. If you opened up the heavens and it rolled out as a scroll, you couldn't write the love of God. It's so vast, it's so great, and He is good. You know, they're praising Him. And what do you say? God is, He's just good. He's just, what do you, could you give a testimony about God? God is good. He is always good. In fact, in just a few minutes, we'll have the Lord's Supper together. And what's it about? It's about He's good. He's good. His body was whipped with the cat of nine tails and punched by wicked men and spat upon and beaten with rods, and His beard was pulled from His jaw, and He's nailed to a cross. Why? Well, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Why? Because He loves us. God did not have to send His Son to die for us. But He loved us. And He did send His Son because He's good. God is good. He's good. And if you're not saved today, understand, you may see all the beauty of the earth. You may see all the beauty of the sky. You may go to the ocean and watch the waves roll in and roll out and see the beauty of that, but you can't see Him until you come through Jesus Christ. Jesus died, the Bible says, to bring us to God. And if you come to Jesus and say, I've sinned against God, I've sinned, and I deserve punishment for my sin, and I'm asking you to forgive me and come into my heart and save me, God will save you today. And wow, you'll be able to say with me, God is good. You know, before I got saved, I couldn't see all this stuff. If I came to a service like that, I'd think, what is this all about? What are all these songs about? What's everybody so excited about? And I wouldn't understand. But when I came to Him, like He said to come, Jesus said, I am the way. When I came to Him, wow, since that day, I can only say, as they said here, He's good. He is good. That we may know Him. That we may know Him. And that we may know how good He is. We may know He's pure. His eyes cannot look on sin. We may know that He knows everything. We may know that He's all powerful. We may know His love. We may experience. I'm talking about know His love. He's good. He's good. Why are they so thankful? Why are they praising? Well, first of all, because He's good. And then second of all, the reason is He is merciful. The Bible says, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Look at His mercy. Turn to Zechariah. In your Old Testament, toward the end of the Old Testament there, Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. If you can't find it, just hold on. I'm going to read it. Zechariah chapter 3. I love this passage of Scripture. And beginning at verse 1, Zechariah 3:1, it says, and He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Understand, Satan's always going to be standing to resist you. Satan's always going to stand to resist anything you want to do for God. He's going to always stand to resist you making decisions for God. And the Lord said unto Satan, don't you love this? The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. And look what He says. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? That's me. A brand plucked out of the fire. That's you today if you're not saved. You're a brand plucked out of the fire. Hey, where were you? I was in the fire. That's where I was. Hey, where'd you come from? Well, I came from the fire. That's where I came from. A brand plucked out of the fire. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. That's us. And stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. And I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. A man that was filthy, plucked from the fire, becomes royalty by calling upon the Lord. My friend, that's exactly what happens when you get saved. That's the change that takes place when you get saved. You see, God is merciful. What did he deserve? Well, he deserved that fire because of sin. But God is merciful. God is merciful. What about Captain Naaman, who becomes a leper, finds out about his leprosy, and he's told to dip 7 times in the dirty old Jordan River. And he's offended by that. Oh, you know, let me do some great thing. No, here's what God says. Do this right here. The man of God said, and you will be healed. But I don't want to do it that way. And the world is full of people that say, you know, I don't want to do it the way God says. I want to work my way to heaven. I want to do good things. I want to be religious. And God said, no, here's what you have to do. And Naaman swallowed his pride. And can you see him getting in the Jordan River? Dirty, nasty Jordan River. He could have gone to, he even mentioned Abana and Pharpar rivers, probably sparkling, clean water, like the city of Adrian. No. But, you know, this beautiful, beautiful river. And he's in that nasty, dirty old Jordan River. And he gets in there and, do I really have to? You have to do this. And he dips 7 times. The Bible says his skin was like a newborn baby. The leprosy was gone. I'm just saying, that's God's mercy. Saul on the road to Damascus, on his way to persecute Christians, on his way to murder, massacre, and maim God's people. And as the demons of hell pushed and pulled him and did all they could, and hell enlarged itself to receive Saul, God in his mercy reached down and saved his soul. As God in his mercy reached down and saved my soul. And as God in his mercy will reach down and save your soul today if you've never been saved. God in his mercy rescues us. The psalmist said this in Psalm 142, verse 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. But someone did care. And you may feel like you're all alone. Nobody cares. My friend, Jesus, he does care. He cares for you. From sinking sand, he lifted me. With tender hand, he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name. He lifted me. Aren't you glad he lifted you today? You're here today without Christ. He'll lift you too. You say, I don't have a whole lot to be thankful for. When you get saved, you have everything to be thankful for. You really do. Number one, we see the requirement for their praise. They came out of the holy place, their walk with God, and spent time with God. The reason for their praise, because he is good, because he is merciful. Number three, we see the repetition of their praise. And again, this thing is all building now, if you notice. It is building. Again, they've moved the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of which represents the presence of God. They've moved it into its place. They have offered the sacrifices, and yet nothing has happened. But all of a sudden, the people now start to recognize our God is good, and our God is in control, and our God is merciful, and our God has been so good to us. And all of a sudden, each person in one accord, they start to speak. And the Bible says in verse 13, it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And the repetition all over, it was 1,000 tongues, but it was one heart praising God. Just like it says in the day of Pentecost, they were all with one accord. And what happened? God came down. And here they were all saying the same thing. They were all praising the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. And everybody recognized it's about God. And it's about our God that we need to praise. Psalmist said in Psalm 133, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And the unity is based on a God that we all owe everything to. John 17, verse 20, Jesus' prayer, his great, great, mighty prayer, intercessory prayer, John 17 and verse 20, what's on his heart? "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Notice, talking about his glory, "I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me." Again, two times, "that the world may know, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Oh, listen to me. The repetition of their praise. It's you saying it, you saying it, you saying it, you saying it, you saying it. All through this place is everybody. Just praise the Lord. You walk in the doors. You know, how you doing today? I just want to praise the Lord. You know, it's in the rooms, in the classes, in the halls, and hey, how's it going? I just want to praise the Lord. That's how it's going. It's thanking God and praising God for all that he does, and the repetition of their praise. It's building now. Do you see it? It's building now. It's not building so people can swing from the lights. It's not building so people can run around the building and foam at the mouth. You know, it's building so that God can enter in. Can you imagine the home where everybody just praises the Lord? Can you imagine the home where dad comes home and he says, "Hey, how's everybody doing?" And the children say, "Dad, I want to thank God for what he did today." And the wife says, "Honey, I want to thank God for what he did today. I want to praise the Lord for what he's doing in our home. I want to praise God for answered prayer. Hey, kids, remember we prayed last week about this thing? And look what God did. God took care of that." By the way, God always takes care of it. "And I just want to praise the Lord today." And all of a sudden, what happens in the home? It sure beats, "You know, it was a terrible day at work. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat worms." Average home. Average life. And the repetition of their praise over and over. "I want to thank God." What was it? After the parting of the Red Sea, the children of Israel, they had nothing but praise at first. And what did the devil do? Murmur, gripe, complain about anything and everything. And you know what? God didn't meet with them. Oh, God still protected them. God still took care of things. But oh, listen, they missed out. We miss out. The repetition of their praise. And then I close with number four, the result. And that's how I wanted to end our Thanksgiving month. The result of their praise. Here's the result. Verse 13, it says, the second part, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Filled with a cloud. God himself came down. That Ark of the Covenant, that's just a box. Do you understand? That's just a box. That's made out of wood, covered with gold. But God himself came down. That's what we need in our homes. That's what we need in our lives. We need God himself to come down. Well, how can I have that? You praise the Lord exactly how they did here, as you walk with God, as you read your Bible, as you pray to God, as you testify of God and what he's doing. And it should be the yearning of every believer that God would come down in my life. The need of the lost person today is God to come down into your life. The need of the cold-hearted today is for God to fill your life. The need of the backslider today is for God to fill your life. The need of the hard-hearted today is for God to fill your life. The need of the discouraged today is for God to fill your life. The need of the weary today is for God to fill your life. Oh, the blessed fullness of God that met the triumph of thanksgiving when God filled their lives. Recently, I've used a Cross ink pen for years. I don't know how long. People buy them for me, and years ago that was the thing. You know, Cross pens, boy, they're the best. Well, I wouldn't say they're the best anymore, but I just kind of like the way they feel and everything. And so I've used a Cross pen for years, and so when my pen runs out of ink, it's hard for me to replace it until I get a refill. And recently my pen fell out of ink and ran out. Yeah, it just dripped right out. But anyway, it ran out of ink and so we couldn't find refills, and we were trying to find refills. So one day I had it in my pocket, as I always do. It's just kind of a habit. And I forgot. And I did what I do, and I started writing, and I wasn't really paying attention, and I looked down, nothing was there. Obviously, because it was out of ink. And there was nothing left on the paper, no impression of all that I'd written. And I thought, you know what? I'm the pen, and the Holy Spirit's the ink. And if I'm not filled with His Spirit, I leave no impression of Him where I am. Be filled with His Spirit. Let Him fill your life. You know, fill the pen with ink. Fill our lives with His Spirit, our homes, our church, everything we do to have His presence. What? It can't get any better than that. Verse 14, I'm just about done. Verse 14, the Bible says, so that the priests could not stand to minister. What are they doing? They're busy. They're working. They're serving. You know, they could not, listen to me, they could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. What's that mean? That means they just stopped. What'd they do? They went like this. That's what they did. I mean, it's one thing for the priest to minister. That's a nice thing. They're told to. But there's, Brother Tim, I don't think it gets any better than just, wow, look what God did. Look what God did. I know I don't want to embarrass Linda, but the Wednesday night we had a time of testimonies, and we were just having testimony Wednesday night all during November, and we had a time of testimonies. I spoke just for a few minutes, talked about the goodness of God leading us to repentance, and you know, Wednesday night we have a lot of children here and everything, and I stood up here, gave the invitation, and just thought we would have a lot of children come. They do. It's typical Wednesday. And I saw Linda being led down that aisle in a wheelchair, and tears were streaming down her cheeks. And I just stopped. Wow. Look what God did. It's awesome when God does it, isn't it? You know, there was no one patting himself on the back. There wasn't anybody. Just look what God did. God spoke to a heart, and it wasn't a message on the blood. It wasn't a message on hell or sin or any. Just look what God did. You know, when He fills the place, we can only watch in awe because He does the work. The greatest work in the world is what He does. We can do something. We can go out there and invite people, run our bus routes, do all these things, but the greatest work in the world is what He does. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. It's not about us. It's all about Him. Let's do our very best to follow this little story here and have a triumph of thanksgiving in our lives. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.